Jamuna Kira Banam Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhadi 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 Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Banam Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Charja Asta Tarazata Si Simad is Divine Grace and Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ananta Koti Vaishnavarindaki Gorpim Anandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We're continuing with Canto 10, Chapter 37, Text 22. 26. And this verse is discussing the play of the cowherd boys, the different games that they were playing, thieves, police, stealing of sheep, and so forth, that connects with the Vyomasura pastime. So, the reference, this is the final commentary section where this verse is spoken about. This is a commentary on Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text 59, towards the end of Krishna's childhood pastimes, that's chapter 11. The translation here reads, Thus Krishna and Balaram spent their childhood in Braja playing childhood games, running here and there, building bridges, jumping like monkeys, and playing in many other ways. And this is Prabhupada's translation of that verse, BBT. In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Brajabhumi, by engaging in activities of childish play such as playing hide and seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. So Sanatan Goswami comments on that verse, text 59. After thus describing the Kaumara age from 1 to 5 and the pastimes of Krishna, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam will now describe the Pauganda 6 to 10 years pastime to the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. This verse gives a summary of Lord Krishna's Kaumara pastime. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur really gets into it about the dating of Krishna's pastime, which is something somewhat different than what Sanatana Goswami is here saying. What Sanatana Goswami is saying, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments, standard is Kumara age is 1 to 5, Pauganda is 6 to 10, but he says Krishna just grew up fast. So he was already doing things that a 5-year-old does when he was 3 years old, without the details. But this is Sanatana Goswami, so we're just reading. So this is the 1 to 5 years old. So when the childhood pastimes is the Kumara age, and it was just very playful. And here's some of the summary of some of the playful things that the children did, or Krishna and his coward boyfriends. So in this verse, text 59, the word jahat tur vrajay means enjoying the pastimes like these, Krishna and Balaram remained hidden in the land of Braja. Vrajay here hints that no other pastimes in any other place are like Lord Krishna's Kumara pastimes in Braja. Thus, the supremely exalted status of Braja is declared. The word Nilayana refers to the game where one boy hides and the others search for him. Hide and seek, we generally call it. Or this word may also refer to the following pastime to be described in the later words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we are, 10:37:26. Which translates, later that morning, Krishna went to play with his coward boyfriends on top of Govardhan Hill. They were imitating the play of thieves and police. Some of the boys became police constables, and some became thieves, and some took the role of lambs or sheep. Here, Setu Bandha means using mud and other articles to stop a stream of water. It has other meanings too. Mud and other articles to stop a stream of water. Or it may mean to please his friends who yearned to see the bridge built by Lord Ramachandra. Krishna and his friends assumed the role of monkeys and built a bridge as they were playing in the waters of a lake. That pastime occurred to the west of Lord Krishna's birthplace in Mathurapuri. It's really nice to have a picture in your mind of what's the layout of Vrindavan. Where's Gokula? Where's Mathura? Where's the Vrindavan forest? where's Govardhan Hill, where's Nandagram, where's Varsana. Very kindly, when Krishna shifted from Gokula to Vrindavan, there's this very detailed description of where everything is. So the Vrindavan forest, looking from your side, here's the Vrindavan forest. It's rectangular shaped, 16 miles by 8 miles. It's a big forest. And Mathura is down here, a little south, southwest, but mainly south, according to that description in Krishna's Shifting, is chapter 8, beginning of chapter 8. So if you go west of Mathurapuri or Mathura, that's where Krishna and the cowherd boys were at that time playing some lake there, doesn't say where. The word Viharai is in the plural because the Lord had many pastimes and also because he enjoyed them again and again. This is Sanatan Goswami speaking. The word Atibihi hints at many other pastimes, such as playing games where balls are thrown. Boys like to do that. Even Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they like to do that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, this is the last little section, he's commenting on this last verse of chapter 11, and he points to a verse in chapter 12, where Maharaj Parikshit inquired, "Oh, great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done in the present? Lord Krishna performed his pastime of killing Agasara during his Kumara age. How then, during his Pauganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently?" In these chapters, this is 12 onwards, that question has been answered. After thus completing his answer to Maharaj Parikshit's question, Srila Shukadev Goswami continued his service of narrating Krishna's pastimes. So again, making reference to our verse, for the last verse of chapter 11. Here, Jahantu means they were hidden. That's some of the cowherd boys were hiding, hide and seek. And Nila Yanai means with pastimes where one boy hides and the other search for him. And Viharai means with the pastimes of his other incarnations, pastimes like building the bridge, journeying to Lanka, and churning the milk ocean. Interesting that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur doesn't give an answer to the question. Canto 10, chapter 12, text 41. There's two answers that I'm aware of that are given. The cowherd boys, like the gopis and others, heard from Garga Muni. They heard via Nanda Maharaj what Garga Muni had said about certain parts of Krishna's pastimes. Now we know at the birth ceremony there was some 8 verses where he made some forecast, and apparently there's other times when Garga Muni gave some other details about Krishna's childhood. And so in some cases, our acharyas say, knowing what Garga Muni said, even before things happened, they had anticipated certain things would happen. Certainly that's the case of the gopis. Or another answer is, it was just narrated as if it happened, and the chronology is not as it appears sequentially in the Bhagavatam unfolding of stories. So what that means is, we heard this, right? The Vyomasura story happened early, but it was only narrated by Shukadeva Goswami later. That's one picture. So that's a possible explanation of this. But it's not just Shukadeva Goswami narrating it later, it's the cowherd boys knowing about a pastime before it happens. I think tomorrow, because in the evening class, we'll be speaking from chapter 12. And I think, when we get there, because we're speaking this evening something before verse 41 of chapter 12. When we get there, we'll find out what Shukadeva Goswami's answer is to that question. Stay tuned for coming attractions, because I'm not aware of how he responded. Here's the next text. We just finished 10:37:26, and now we're going on to 10:37:27. In that game, O king, some acted as thieves, others as shepherds, and others as sheep. They played their game happily, without fear of danger. There's no BBT commentary. Vishwanath writes, they played without fear, kutahabhaya. They were without fear because whoever was stolen or whoever stole, and all the protectors as well, were friends. That was one of the logical arguments that Mother DeSoto gave when the cowherd boys told her that Krishna had eaten dirt. He said, they're liars. And Mother DeSoto said, they're not your enemies. They're your friends. So why would they lie? They're not trying to hurt you. So this is that kind of word. They're all friends. There's another reason Krishna was there. But they're amongst friends, so no worries. Jiva Goswami writes, this describes the game. What's the game? They stole the sheep at ease without any shouting, even though killing. They did this on a mountain plateau. There was no killing, it's just a game, but they didn't have to shout because it was just a game. That's his explanation. Sanatana Goswami writes, the method of the game is described. In that game, among the boys, some were thieves, some were shepherds, and some were sheep. The sheep were taken easily without shouting. They played on the plateau because they were without fear by the influence of the Lord. All fear had been extinguished after Krishna had killed Keshi and other great demons in Vrindavan. This was also the cause of Vyoma entering among them. They could only become happy by playing without fear, or there was no fear of time since they did not worry about being separated from the Lord. O king, you understand, since when there is a king, the population is without fear. They were protected, so they were without fear. So Vyomasura is about to enter, and it's going to hear a little bit about Vyomasura's whole story. We'll start with, there's three things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Vyomasura represents a certain obstacle on the path of bhakti. So the killing of Vyomasura illustrates the abandonment of the association of the thieves and the hypocrites. So here's Garga Samhita description of Vyomasura. So this is a discussion between Narada and King Bahulashva. Who's King Bahulashva? He's the king that Krishna went to visit towards the end of his pastimes. At that time, during Krishna's time, the descendant of King Janak was Mahalashva. He was a great devotee of Krishna. So Narada pays a visit to King Bahulashva, and King Bahulashva is asking about Krishna's pastimes. Garga Samhita. Sri Bahulashva said, "What pious deeds had Vyomasura done in his previous birth that he was able to merge into Lord Krishna as a lightning flash merges into a dark rain cloud?" Sri Narada said, "He was a great king named Bhima Ratha, who lived in the city of Varanasi. He was charitable, a performer of many yajnas, respected, an expert archer, and a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. After some time, he gave his kingdom to his son and went to the Malaya hills, where he performed austerities for 100,000 years. One day, the great sage Palashtimuni, accompanied by many disciples, came to the king-sage's ashram. The king-sage, filled with pride, neither stood up nor bowed down. Palashtya cursed him, 'Wretch, now become a demon.'" Ooh. "The king then fell at the sage's feet and surrendered to him. Then Palashtya, the tiger among the sages, who is kind to the suffering, said, 'At the end of Dwapara Yuga, in the district of Mathura, in the circle of Braja, the strength of the arms of Sri Krishna, the king of the Yadu dynasty, will give you the liberation desired by the yogis. Of this there is no doubt.' Sri Narada said, 'Oh, king of Videha.' Then King Bhimarata became the son of the demon Mayasura, or Maya Danava. And the power of Lord Krishna's arms gave him liberation." So, in the beginning part of this evening's class, at your home, right, we'll be discussing the types of liberation given to the demons killed by Krishna. Stay tuned. It's very detailed, very interesting. But he got liberation. Text 28. A powerful magician named Vyoma, the son of the demon Maya. So, the demon Maya, Maya Danava. Everyone knows Maya Danava, right? Maya Danava. He's a really popular guy. he did lots of different things in different places. And so Vyoma was his son. We'll hear about it tonight more also. A powerful magician named Vyoma, son of a demon Maya, then appeared on the scene in the guise of a cowherd boy. Pretending to join the game as a thief, he proceeded to steal most of the cowherd boys who were acting as sheep. And Vishwanath writes, Vyomasura stole away almost all the cowherd boys acting as sheep. Jiva Goswami writes, Vyoma stole nearly all the cowherd boys playing sheep. Only four or five remained. Sanatana Goswami writes, Maya was famous among magician demons. Maya, Mayavin. His son was Vyoma and thus called Maha Maya. Because he had great powers, he disguised himself as a cowherd. They did not recognize him as a demon. And Sanatana Goswami raises the question, why did the Lord accept him in their playing? Answer, he accepted the dress of a cowherd. He should be merciful to him since he dressed as a cowherd. He stole most of the boys, prayaha, bahun, and only four or five remained. Or the demon showed that his goal was bhakti. That's another reading, not saying, but that's how. Thus, he was given some consideration. Or because of that, the boys did not shout everywhere about him. Text 29. Gradually, the great demon abducted more and more of the cowherd boys and cast them into a mountain cave, which he sealed shut with a boulder. Finally, only four or five boys acting as sheep remained in the game. Jiva Goswami writes, he threw them deep within a cave. Only four or five, or 54 cowherds playing sheep remained. Krishna was unaware until that time of Vyoma Sura, since Krishna had wandered off to take the boys he had stolen. Now he's omniscient, but he was doing a pastime. He threw them deep within a cave. Sanatana Goswami writes, until only four or five cowherds playing sheep remained. Or he put them in the cave gently. If they understood he was a demon, he would not be able to put them in the cave at all. He brought many in at the same time. He was capable because he was a powerful demon, Maha Suraha. He had powers of Maya. Four or five boys remained as sheep. And then the last sentence for this morning. It would have been impossible to put all the unlimited cowherd boys quickly in the cave by himself. Maybe some of you heard the class when we were describing the childhood pastimes of Krishna when he began herding the calves. This is chapter 11. It gives some numbers of how many calves and how many cowherd boys. And it's really a far-out description. The number, this is when the Agasura pastime. So on that particular day, Balaram didn't go. There was a purpose, but he didn't go. There are different explanations of why he didn't go. But Mother Jasoda kept him behind. Krishna's arrangement. So when he went, he had this idea that he told the cowherd boys ahead of time, we're going to leave really early in the morning. So bring packed lunch with you. Because the routine was they would have breakfast and then go. But this morning it was packed breakfast. So Krishna got up really early. Regularly, Mother de Soto would wake him, but he got up really early and took his own bath. He didn't have to be bathed. And he played his flute, and his flute was so powerful that all the cowherd boys woke up. That's a powerful flute. And before they're normally getting up, wake up boys that are before their normal time to wake up. But they wanted to be with Krishna, so they woke up. And the calves woke up, and off they went into the forest before even the sun came up. And then it describes in that section how many cowherd boys, and it says 10 million. And for the calves, it was asankhyataha. And to calculate what asankhyata is, there's some number, which I forget the Sanskrit term, but it's, you know, it's got a whole lot of zeros, times one of those, times one of those, times one of those, and that has a certain number, and beyond that is asankhyata. I mean, it's a finite number, but too many to count, that's asankhyata. That's a lot of calves. We hear that the cows, 900,000, Nanda Maharaj. But this is not just Nanda Maharaj, this is all the cowherd boys. In any case, whoever's cows or calves they were. Now, this is chapter 37. And in chapter 37, it's no longer calves, it's cows. Because when he turned 5, he just switched from calves to cows. Unless the pastime took place, the Vyomasura pastime took place just after the killing of Bakka, and then it was calves. So take your pick. He was really young. According to what we heard just yesterday, right? 3 years old, between 3 and 4. And that's calves. Or around 11, and then it's cows. So calves are cows. That's when, you know, Vyomasura came either this time or that time. And he's a mystic. Now, it wasn't like we understand someone doesn't become a mystic by birth. He was trained. He doesn't give the details, but Mayadhanava trained his son, and now he also had mystic powers. And one of those mystic powers, there's 8 principal and 11 more, 19 total mystic powers. And one of those principal mystic powers is being able to assume any form you like. So he did. But that wasn't the limit. Similar to what Brahma did. Brahma put the calves and the cowherd boys in a cave. And that to do that, there was some mystic power involved. Brahma's intention was he wanted to show his mystic power and see what Krishna would do. Because the demigods, they also have mystic powers. Yes? One of the doubts of Mother Jasoda when she saw the universe inside Krishna's mouth, one of the options that she ruled out was maybe this is one of the Deva Maya mystic powers of the devas, but then she ruled it out thinking, no, I'm too inconsequential. Why would they bother showing some Deva Maya, demigod's mystic power? I'm too inconsequential. Or we hear in Mahabharata, at least this is one of the explanations that I recently read, is in Mahabharata, when the Pandavas left the world, it is sometimes said they had to see hell. You're familiar with that, right? Prunity, you're familiar with that? The Pandavas had to see hell before they went to heaven? You're not aware of that. Some people are aware of that. One explanation that I read, I can't remember where, it was in heaven, and it was a power, a mystic power of Indra to show them a mystical hell. It wasn't hell. It was Indra's power, and then they entered heaven. Anyway, demigods have powers. They have mystic powers. And they can do lots of things, and they do those things that are beyond ordinary person's power to do because they have mystic powers. So what to speak of Krishna? So this is Maya Dhanava, and he has Maya Dhanava's son, Vyoma, and he has mystic powers. So he did mystical things. And in the Leela, of course, Krishna is all-knowing. We're going to hear how Krishna responds when the Leela Shakti or Yogamaya potency is withdrawn and Krishna realizes what happened. He's omniscient. So how he had to realize something? Because Yogamaya was covering his understanding for purpose of the Leela. And so, you know, the cowherd boys were in danger. When he went inside the cave, we'll hear, they looked as if dead. And then a description, they weren't dead. They had just fainted. They fainted for two main reasons. It was really hot in the cave. Kind of like with it, when the cowherd boys were in the body of Agasura. They had lost external consciousness because of the heat of Agasura's body. And there was the feelings of separation from Krishna. So, how did the cowherd boys, who were kept in a cave during the Brahma Vimohan Leela for 1 year, how did they survive? And what did they eat? Ask your boys if they're ready to fast for 1 year. You ready to fast for 1 year? He shrugs his shoulders. We'll try you out. How's that? Next Ekadasi, we'll see how long you can fast on Ekadasi. 1 whole year. Without Krishna's association. Worse than not eating. But they were covered by Yogamaya potency such that they weren't hungry, they weren't sleepy, they weren't feeling numb, but just they weren't feeling their normal feelings. And then Krishna arranged that they would be released from that cave where Brahma had put them, and now they're sitting having lunch, looking around, seeing Krishna coming back and saying, oh, you're so attached, you can't be away for us for a moment. Sit down, let's finish lunch. I mean, the sense of time and space in Krishna's pastimes are very flexible. This is an explanation Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj likes to give. Very flexible. That's like in Govardhan, excuse me, in Dwarka. Time is very flexible. And space is very flexible. How did Krishna go all the way from Nandagram to the Kaliya Lake, and then the cowherd boys go all the way back from Kaliya Lake to Nandagram to get Mother Jasoda and Nanda and come back again? And they didn't have a taxi. Time and space are very flexible. And if we think, oh, well, that's silly, then you'll never understand Krishna's pastimes. He can move his energies however he likes. No problem. No problem for Krishna. So he was not mindful of what Vyomasura was up to. And then he noticed his dear cowherd boys were missing. So he sprang into action. First he finished Vyoma, then he found the boys. He followed the path of the footprints of Vyoma to the place where they were kept. But he's omniscient. He doesn't need to follow footprints. He's just playing pastimes. And the cowherd boys, once Krishna found them, yay! Then it was time to go back to Braja. One description I read is, it was minimum twice per day, once before lunch, once before going back. Because if the boys were so absorbed in playing, they wouldn't stop for lunch or they wouldn't go back. So the demons would come in around 11 o'clock and then around 4 o'clock. Time to go back. Let's go. Like that happened with Bukka. After the Bukkasura was killed, the boys were fearful in a variety of ways of fearful. Fearful because Bukka had put Krishna in his mouth, or Krishna allowed Bukka to put him in his big beak, but couldn't swallow him. Anyway, then they talked about what happened. They gathered the calves and back they went to Braja, singing songs about what Krishna had just done. What a festival. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion. Krishna's pastimes. Vyomasura. We have a question up front. You're changing batteries.
You said about three things, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said something about Bhyamasura, like atheist, and what are the two? Other two I could not catch. Can you repeat?
What did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say Bhyamasura represents? That's your question?
Yeah, you said three things. You said something.
I'll read it again. Thieves and deceivers. That's my memory. Thieves and hypocrites. Thieves and hypocrites. Hypocrisy. That good?
Yes. Thank you much. And one more question regarding type of liberation. You say you are going to discuss today evening, like the demons are given like different types of liberation, being killed by Krishna.
Yeah.
So another thing is, Prabhupada mentioned also that the empirical philosopher or those who are after knowledge, Jnanamargi. So they also get the same type of liberation as the demons they get. So what is the difference? I'm confused.
Difference between what and what?
Liberation given to Jnani and liberation given to demons. What is the difference then? Because they get the same destination, Brahma Jyoti.
You want to know what kind of liberation did Bhima?
And Gyani.
The demons and the Gyanis. Okay, thank you for helping. Any difference between the liberation of the demons and the Gyanis? Depends. Stay tuned for tonight's class because there's some detail. I mean, I can read it now, but it's appropriate for the evening because the evening has to do with Agasura and the kind of liberation that Agasura received. Chapter 12. So, some demons achieve sa rupya mukti, and there's a long list. Gyanis do not. Those demons that achieve sa rupya achieve because their mind is fixed on Krishna. In a nasty way, but their mind is fixed on Krishna. So there's some similarity and some differences. Depends. But Gyanis do not get sarupya. Okay? Or salokya. But some demons do. That's what happened to Arishta. Well, here, listen to the class this evening. You'll get the detail. Someone else.
This is related to yesterday's class. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yesterday morning.
Sure.
You were reading how from the verse of the Bhagavatam that Narada Muni, after discussing with Krishna, he went off, and then Krishna saw him off. Then you were reading from the commentary that why would anybody want to leave the association of Krishna and Braj, such a sweet association? I was trying to think that for us, the saintly association, when we get the association, from time to time, the circumstances are that there is a tendency to we want to seek association, make the most, but sometimes it appears that the conditional mentality is that you make excuses. That
it remains what?
That because of the conditional mentality, we make excuses.
Excuses, okay.
That I have some duty to perform, I have a service to take care. At the same time, it seems like the value of the association of saintly persons is paramount in progressing in devotional service. So I'm just asking for myself, like, how do I safeguard to say that I'm not making an exception based on laziness to take that association, rather make the most of it.
Well, built within your question is the answer to your question. And that is, association is to help you advance in your service. So then here comes some service. So it's not necessarily complacency that you move on to do your service. It could be complacency, or it could be, this is the fruit of that association, is enthusiastic devotional service. And here it comes. Everything is, everything is dependent upon the consciousness behind what we do to determine the answer to your question. Is it complacency or is it responsibility? this case, Narada directed him. Or Narada understood Krishna's purpose, which was pastimes that if he was present, Krishna wouldn't be able to perform them. The gopis would not be able to associate with Krishna the way that Krishna wants to and they want to associate together. So he left for Krishna's purpose. So the consciousness behind the decisions we make, that's what's important. And it's easy to trick ourselves. But that's part of refinement of consciousness is introspection, which, you know, in the deeper platform, what's really going on here? Am I being this or that? Or somewhere in between, a mix. Okay?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Marji mentioned that Vyomasura can represent anartas associated with children. Anartas associated with children, one of the deeper or...
What did I say?
The demons also represent anartas, and I thought yesterday you mentioned how one anarta mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur of Vyomasura is anartas related with children.
Do you remember that? I don't remember that. I can go back and read it. You want me to go back and read it?
I think that was in either Sikshamrita or...
No, I'll go back. So you pause on your question and I'm going to go back. Okay, this is the beginning of yesterday morning's class. Chaitanya Sikshamrita says, the illusion of being a great devotee or acharya is represented by Keshi. Vyomasura, son of Mayadhanava, represents thieves and fake devotees. Sri Krishna Samhita says, the 14th obstacle in developing love for Krishna is stealing others' property and speaking lies. This creates disturbances in Braja in the form of Vyomasura.
Okay.
You heard something the rest of us didn't hear.
Thank you. I must be thinking of a different demon.
Okay. I don't recall what you're thinking of. Back in the front.
Maharaj, perhaps it's the demon Vatsasura. I see Acharya nodding. In Vatsasura, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers to a sense of childishness as an anartha. I can't remember the details of it right now. But it's not a child. It's the childishness in certain aspirants.
I'll find it right now. But what is that? You want to carry on with your question, assuming it was Vatsasura or something like that. Is that important? The connection? Why are you asking the question? Yes. What is what referred to?
Anartha is related to children. Specifically, what is the meaning behind that?
You're an interesting editor in your system. Well, that's their previous lives. That's not the one. Okay, here's Vatsasura. A childish type of mentality which gives rise to a type of greediness which results in a wicked type of mischievousness. Should I read it again? I'll read it again. The calf demon, Vatsasura, represents a childish type of mentality which gives rise to a type of greediness which results in a wicked type of mischievousness. That satisfy? Okay. You have something? No? No. Okay. Anyone else?
It is online.
Huh? Online. Okay.
This is from Amara Mataji. Is there any suffering in transcendental fear, or there is bliss of Krishna's shelter?
It's an intensification of shelter taking, which is bliss. There's feelings, but it's a transcendental feeling that leads to intensification of shelter taking. Next.
Same person asking, how do Vrajavasis take shelter of Krishna when they don't know that he is God?
They love him. And he's always very kind. They take shelter of someone who's loving and very kind. And, you know, he always, when they take shelter, he takes care of things. He has power, although he's a little boy. So they're fine taking shelter. Next.
That's it.
That's it. Prabhupada ki? Jai. Commentaries on?